So thank you, Anne. And hello, everyone. So here we are with the agenda paper number one for today's meeting, that is review of common reporting practice. So we are seeking your views on three topics. That is reconciliation of denominator that is used in calculating basic and diluted earnings per share. Second is disclosure of anti-dilutive instruments in earnings per share note. And third is presentation of other comprehensive income in two categories. So first, I'll start with the background for our discussion on earnings per share. IAS 33 explains potential ordinary shares as dilutive or anti-dilutive when their conversion to ordinary shares would decrease or increase earnings per share. Regarding their disclosure requirements, paragraph 70 of IAS 33 requires disclosure of reconciliation of denominator used in calculating basic earnings per share and diluted earnings per share. And it also requires the disclosure of anti-dilutive instruments. Here is an illustration of calculation of basic and diluted earnings per share. And now we'll see the taxonomy elements for these disclosure requirements. Here we have one text element and two numeric elements for reconciliation of denominator. Just please note that the IFRS taxonomy does not include elements for examples discussed in previous slides. Because as per current taxonomy policy, we add elements of only those examples that deals with presentation and disclosure requirements. And for disclosure of anti-dilutive instruments, we have only one text element. So first topic, reconciliation of denominator. In our review, we found that companies commonly reported effect of dilutive instruments other than share options and convertible instruments. We noted the commonly reported instruments were warrants and restricted share units, and also companies commonly created extensions for the aggregate effect of all dilutive instruments. So what is the issue here? We think that the existing modeling does not fully reflect the disclosure requirements in paragraph 70 because of these reasons. First, we have a text element for requirement of disclosure of number of shares. And second, requirement to disclose individual effect of each class of individual instruments, which is not handled well in the IFRS taxonomy at the moment. So we propose to create new elements and calculation relationship to handle the tagging of reconciliation of denominator. So red highlighted elements will be the new elements, and the calculation relationship that are given in the footnotes will be the new calculation relationship that we'll create in the taxonomy. And then we propose to deprecate the existing text element. So first set of questions to the ITCG members. Do you agree with the staff proposals listed on slide 13 and 14? If not, what would you suggest and why? I'll now pause for the comments.
So please use the chat to indicate that you'd like to speak. Shelley, over to you.
I have a question. On this slide, the calculation H, I understand that the calculation I, why is it included in formula link base, not in the regular calculation link base?
Because as per our understanding, calculation link base will not handle this disclosure requirement because this calculation reflects the calculation between instant and duration elements. And it will not be handled well in the calculation link base.
So is it both A and H duration element?
I'm not very sure. I need to check because as per my understanding, this should be instant. Let I'll get back to you on this, maybe.
Okay, thanks, Vivek. Any other comments, please? Binla, over to you.
Yes, just have a quick question. Do you consider not deprecating the current element just in the situation when, you know, the preparer don't want to tag this level of detail?
Okay. You propose to retain the text element just to handle the tagging of all the reconciliation, like without numbers, because we have seen the reconciliation in numeric format.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
So we think that the narrative disclosure would not be sufficient, yes, to actually meet the requirements of the standards, and that, yes, the numerical disclosures would be what's required, and so therefore it makes sense to deprecate the
existing text, yes,
the existing text element, and require the use of the numerical elements.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you. I think I agree with the proposal. Thank you.
We have a comment in the chat line that Ashok agrees fully with the proposal. He says that the proposed way provides not only a formal calculation structure, but also data in granular form for analytics. So thank you for that, Ashok. And we'll go to Joel now for a comment. Joel?
Thank you. And I agree also with the proposal, but I have the same questions as Shelley was raising in terms of calculation. I spent some time also looking at I think these calculations are new, right? But I also don't understand why you cannot use the calculation link base, right? Obviously, with a formal link base, you can solve it. But I assume we are in the same dimensions, and you should not have issues in using the calculation link base to do the calculation A plus H, right? So, but I agree with you. Thank you, Anna. Thank you.
Thank you, Joel. May I ask if anybody on the phone, anyone else on the phone would like to comment? Okay.
Nothing from
the phone. Thanks, Julie. Okay, Lewis is suggesting that we just try the calculation and see if it works.
Yes.
Donna, over to you for your comment.
Yes, I just wanted to say we do have them as duration in our taxonomy because of the 3 month and 6 month. So in order to, if you had an instant element and they were ending on the same period, you couldn't have different values. So because of that comparative, where one is over 3 months, one is over 6 months, but ending at the same period, it only works with duration so that you can have different contexts.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, the question is not very clear, actually, the voice.
Oh, I'm sorry. Could you not hear me?
Yes.
We're just not sure what the question is, if you don't mind repeating.
Oh, I was just kind of responding to the question about instant duration on the weighted average and just making a comment that we have it as duration in the U.S. taxonomy because of comparative periods that end on the same date. So you might have a 3 month period and a 6 month period. So if you have an instant element, you would have the same date context but different values, and that doesn't work. So we have it as duration because you've got a 3-month value and a 6-month value to the same end date. You need some kind of date context to make that distinction. This is the reason why we have duration.
Okay, in that case, you also must have the calculation without going into formula.
Yeah, we don't use formula.
Okay. We'll see if we can use the calculation link base for this. I is equal to A plus H.
Okay, Lewis has added in the chat line that USGAP did have them as instant and found out through experience of using them that it didn't work.
I like your paraphrasing.
Do we have comments from anyone else? Vivek, do you want to summarize where you've got to in terms of question one?
Yes. We'll, I see that most of the members agree with the comment, with the proposals, and we'll see if we can include this calculation relationship in the calculation link base without going into formula. And we'll continue with this proposal to deprecate the text element. And now second topic is about this disclosure of anti-dilutive instruments in the earnings per share note. So paragraph 70C of IAS 33 requires disclosure of anti-dilutive instruments, but is silent on the reporting format. So we observed different variety in reporting practice. For instance, some reported narrative explanation, some reported number of instruments that are anti-dilutive, and whereas some report the number of potential ordinary shares that could arise from the conversion of anti-dilutive instruments. And entities are creating extensions to tag those numeric disclosures and are also using different data models, making the data less usable for consumption. So here are a few examples of numeric disclosure of anti-dilutive instruments. And on the next slide, we have some examples of narrative disclosures for anti-dilutive instruments. So what we observed is, we observed different types of tagging for the numeric values, with some using only line items and some creating an extension access. So we propose to create a new table with a set of new elements to handle the tagging of disclosure of anti-dilutive instruments as required by IAS 33. The new table will have members for different types of anti-dilutive instruments and line items for number of instruments and number of potential ordinary shares that could arise on conversion of anti-dilutive instruments. Again, we propose to deprecate the existing text element and create a new text block element for the newly proposed table. We considered but rejected the use of line item model just for because of these reasons mentioned herein. Second question is, do you agree with our proposals to add a new table and replace existing text element with a new text block element? If not, what would you suggest and why?
Shelley, let's have your question, please.
My question is on slide 21. Why do we need two elements there? Do we just have a share type element? Do we need both decimal and share type element?
So share item type is just because number of potential ordinary shares is share element type, because it deals with number of shares. And number of instruments is, we created this decimal just to be like, just to handle the different possibilities of different number of instruments, where the preparers will enter what types of instrument are these.
But they are all anti-dilutive shares, right? They are all, at the end, they're all counted as share, anti-dilutive shares.
No, there are options and warrants. These could be options and warrants or different kind of convertible instruments. So not necessarily every instrument will be shares.
So here, when we use this dimension, we would have all these members in one dimension, but then for shares, we use one element, and for other instrument type, we have to use a different element. That's a little odd.
No, this is not the proposal. So proposal is, for example, for share options, companies can disclose the number of instruments or number of share options that are anti-dilutive in second line item. And first line item is number of potential ordinary shares that could arise from the conversion of those share options. Because entities, like we notice common reporting practice, as some entities reported potential ordinary shares that could arise from the conversion, and some entities reported the number of instruments that are anti-dilutive. So that's why we are proposing to create two elements. So both these elements can be used with any of the members.
Okay.
We've had indication of agreement from Christine, from Joel, and from Ashok. A note here from Owen, just pointing out that... Owen, come on and just... Because not everyone can see the chat, Owen. So can you just come on and explain, give that bit of background, please?
That was the point that Vivek was making. I was just trying to give an example that the key thing here is that one instrument... might convert to multiple shares, and so there might be, so those two line items, there might, depending on what the instrument is, there may be a ratio between them. It may be that you have one option, you know, one warrant that allows you to receive five shares, and so you may declare that you have 100,000 warrants that's the equivalent to 500,000 shares, and so you, those two numbers need to be represented, which is why we have the two line items.
Okay, Daisuke, Binla, and Maria have all agreed. Do we have anyone else that would like to comment on this question on slide 24? Ronald agrees. Okay, I think we can push on, Vivek.
So we have
tenure agrees.
Yes.
Oh, third and last. Vivek, sorry, go back. Ronald, you have a comment? Would you like to comment?
Yeah, not specifically to this proposal.
No, Vivek. Vivek, just a moment, has a comment. Just go back.
Yes, this is Ronald. I do not have a specific comment on this proposal, but more in general, we observed that the standard didn't provide a reporting format, and then we see in practice that differences arise, and within an IFRS taxonomy, we really create a reporting framework as about, okay, this is, in our view, how this could be disclosed. So I was just wondering how in future we prevent this kind of discussions. So whether standards are being updated or new standards are being created, especially for numeric information, we have at that time already a discussion about a reporting framework. So that is beyond what's being discussed here, but it's more about, okay, how does it come that For numeric information, we first have within the IFRS standard just the text element, rather than an ID of how should can or should be reported. And I was basically wondering what we can do in the standard setting phase already to think about this.
Anne, could I perhaps respond to that one?
Yeah, Ronald, thank you. It's a great... it's a great point, Ronald. Thank you. And Rachel will respond.
Yeah, I think what this reflects and the need to make these changes here is perhaps the approach that we took in the past to developing the taxonomy, where there perhaps wasn't as much discussion between the teams that were developing the disclosure requirements and the taxonomy team when they were developing the taxonomy elements. We have in recent years moved to an approach whereby there is a lot more discussion between the teams that are actually developing the disclosure requirements and those that are developing the taxonomy elements. And we would hope that these sorts of issues didn't arise because of that new revised approach to developing the taxonomy in combination with the standards. So these are sort of historical problems that we're looking at the moment, and we're hoping that they won't be cropping up again in the future.
Okay, thanks for clarification.
Thanks, Rachel. Vivek, back to you for your third section.
Okay. So third and last topic of this agenda paper is about other comprehensive income. Paragraph 82A of IAS 1 requires items of other comprehensive income to be grouped into two categories, that are items that will not be reclassified to profit or loss and items that will be reclassified to profit or loss. Accordingly, we have all line items for components of other comprehensive income and income tax thereon grouped in two categories as shown here. So what is the issue? There are three common practice elements which were created to handle the tagging of other component of other comprehensive income, and these elements are not categorized in those two categories. We observe that companies use these elements to tag other component of other comprehensive income in one of the two categories. We think that these elements are inconsistent with the requirements of paragraph 82A of IAS 1. And here are some examples of IFRS filings where companies have used these elements. And we can see that these elements will not give the information if the other component belongs to which one of those two categories. So we propose to deprecate the three common practice elements listed on slide 28 and create six new common practice elements instead that divide the other components into the two different categories. The advantage of our proposal is new elements will be consistent with the requirements of IFRS standards. And one disadvantage is, since existing elements will be deprecated, retagging will be required for some of the preparers. So, last set of question. Do you agree with the proposals listed on slide 30? If not, what would you suggest and why?
Christine agrees. Thank you, Christine, for your comment. Ronald agrees. Daisuke and Joel agree. Oh, no. Daisuke is going to make a comment. Daisuke, could you comment, please?
Yes. Thank you. About slide 31, the taxonomy is not perfect, but it should be better. So it means the important thing is keep improving taxonomy every year. So I agree your proposal.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Daisuke. Thank you for that. Maria and Shelley, agree? Also, Tanya and Leng Bing agree? Ashok agrees because the advantage outweighs the disadvantage. And any disadvantages are consistent with annual taxonomy update. Thanks, Ashok. Okay, Vivek, back to you.
Thank you, and many thanks to the members for their comments. So as next steps, we will include these proposals in the proposed IFRS taxonomy update for general improvements and common practice for public comments. And after getting all the feedbacks, we will aim to include these changes in the upcoming annual IFRS taxonomy 2022. With this, thank you everyone.
Thank you, Vivek, and thank you, members, for your comments and your agreement. That's the end of our first item for today, too.
Hello, can you hear me well?
This is our discussion.
Sorry, can you
this is item two, digital reporting implications for the exposure. Yes, Issa, we can hear you. Boardroom. Aida, can you hear Issa?
Yes, we can hear. I think there is a slight delay for you, Anne, so if we just all give a little bit time, I think, for the message to come. To Australia, quite, I think.
To delay. Is there more a delay than you've experienced on other days?